Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you're working in our lives, Lord. I thank you for the testings and the blessings, Lord. And I thank you so much that we're here today and we can't wait to see what you're going to do. Bless the Sunday school, the preaching, and the song services, Lord. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 202. My Redeemer, 202.
Seated.
Turn over to 205. He keeps me singing.
There's within my heart.
Thank you so much for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Welcome to church on Sunday. Wednesday, the 11th of February, Bible preaching and prayer and Patch Kids at 7. Saturday, church bus visitation, church-wide Operation Saturation and soul winning at 10. February 12th and 13th, and 13th and 14th is the Living United Couples Retreat in Branson, Missouri. Thursday, February 19th, our midweek service. Our midweek service will be with Dr. Bob Gray. February the 20th, the youth rally in El Dorado. And then February 22nd to the 26th, the Brother Korn meetings are still pending. So keep that in prayer too, please. And then Sunday through Wednesday, the 15th through the 18th, is our special meetings with Brother Sam Davis, and it's our church's 70th anniversary. So, and as you can see, they're still remodeling, and please remember that in prayer, and also the prayer request on the back. All yours, brother.
All right, good to be here in Sunday school. It's been a couple of weeks. So since we've had been able to have Sunday school, but good to have all of you here today. I do have a few, see Kevin here. He's here with us. He's getting better, been praying for him and everything. And good to see Jack and Diane in services today. You know, it kind of warmed up a little bit, so it kind of got us out. So it's good to have you in our class today. Before I get started, though, I do have a couple of special prayer requests. I just went by yesterday to see Brad Newman, his man that used to sit right back over here by himself. And Brad has been put on hospice care. And I went by yesterday, knocked on the door, left the track, knocked several times. I couldn't get him to the door. I went there this morning to pick him up, and I still couldn't get him to the door. So I don't know exactly what's happening. I'm going to try to go by after church and see if we can find somebody there. But please pray for him. That's Brad Newman. And I also like for you to pray especially this morning for my wife. She is not feeling very well. She has been sick all weekend and in bed. She's so tired she just can't get awake. Matter of fact, before church started, she wanted me to call her to make sure she's awake, and I had to call her twice before she really woke up. So do pray for her that she gets feeling better. But if she's not feeling better by tomorrow, I assure you I'll be taking her to the doctor. Okay, so do pray for her. And today we're in the book of Luke. Luke chapter, I'm going to look a little bit, I'm going to go over a few things. It's been a while since we have been in the book of Luke here, but we're going to be looking. I do have my marker marked. Yeah. See where we're at. We talked about the testimony of John the Baptist. We're talking about the baptism here, John. John is the subject of chapter 3 here and some things leading up to it. We had talked before about his message. He had a message for the crowd that in chapter 3 in verses 2 through 6, he's talking to the people there. But before we do that, let's bow our heads and take the opportunity to go before God's throne and pray for Brad and my wife this morning, okay? Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today, we serve a great God. Lord, we know there's nothing impossible for you, for Lord, you have created this world. And Lord, you came to this earth, went to the cross, shed your blood, died, and the third day you miraculously came alive from the grave. We're so thankful we serve a risen Savior today. Father, I just pray that you give us guidance and direction this morning in this message. And also, Lord, I do pray for Brad and my wife, Lord, as they're both very sick. So, Lord, I pray that you be with them and help us to find Brad okay when we go back over there this afternoon. I just ask that you would help us. Give us guidance and direction in the decisions we need to make. Lord, I pray for the remodeling of the church. Lord, we're in the middle of it now. And Lord, I pray you just give the pastor guidance and direction in the things we need to do. And Lord, we pray that we know, Lord, that you're capable of meeting all the needs. So Father, I pray that you help us today to honor and to glorify you in all the things we do. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being in your house this morning and for Sunday school. And Lord, I just pray that you give us guidance and direction now in thy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen. Okay, here in Matthew chapter 3, we find that John is speaking to the crowds. Let's look in verse 3, and it says, And he came into his country about Jordan and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And so his message was that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he's telling this. But he had a message here for the Pharisees. In chapter 3 and verse 7, it says there, "Then said he unto to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized." He said, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And they were realizing that they were in their sins and there was wrath to come. And it says, "Bring forth therefore fruit of repentance, and beginning begin not to say within them yourselves, we have father, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And then it says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Even every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not fruit, good fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire." And the people ask him, saying, "Why shall we do then? What shall we do then?" And he answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him depart one of them, that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." And so as he was talking to the people here, the scribes and the Pharisees, and you notice here in verse 9, he talks about the axe that's being laid. There's going to be something, something happened here. The Lord's coming, and Israel is going to be, there's going to be a pruning situation going here. He's going to engraft something else in, and that's going to be the Gentiles, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's preaching all these things, it says in verse 12, he talked also to the publicans. And it says, "Then came also publicans to be baptized. And he said unto them, him, Master, what shall we do?" And so these people are asking, "What do we want? What should we do?" And he's told the scribes and the Pharisees there, they need to show fruit of their repentance. In other words, they needed to show that they're willing to give their coat or whatever it may be to someone who doesn't have a coat and all these things. And then he's talking to the publicans here, and he says, and he said unto them, "Exact no." Of course, the publicans were the tax collectors. He says, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." In other words, just take the money that you've been appointed. What the tax collectors used to do was they would take the money that the government told them that they needed to collect from people, and then they extorted more money to live on or whatever else, do the things that they wanted to do. But they took more money. John was aware of this. And many of the people in those days were aware of that. You might remember there was a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I always liked Zacchaeus. He's just kinsman spirit, you know. He was a wee little man. But anyway, and he climbed up in the tree. And of course, the Lord came by and seen Zacchaeus. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And Zacchaeus had a repentant heart. When he realized that the Lord was willing to accept him, he said, "Lord, I'm going to give back all that money that I've extorted from people, that I've taken back. I'm going to give half my wealth and all this stuff that he gave to the poor," and he just did different things. That was repentance. That's what John was talking about here to the publicans. Don't take any more money than what was required that Rome needed or whatever tax payment was. I'd see, talking about taxes, you know, we got a penny, never mind. It seems like all the time there's taxes. There's some places I've gone in town and I found out that if I go to this Sam's up here on Kellogg, my taxes are different than if I go to that Sam's down there on Mays. Reason why? Mays has a tax on the on there. And then if you go over to Goddard, or I go to Walmart over there at Goddard every once in a while, and guess what? Their taxes is different. And so you got to figure out what. And now, of course, it's going to be all made okay because we're going to put another penny on Wichita. So, yeah, all those pennies add up, you know. But anyway, we have government that we do have to take care of. They had government in their days that they had to take care of. And he's just extract from them what's required. Then he speaks to the soldiers. There's Roman soldiers, I believe, that hearing what John is preaching, and those Roman soldiers, they come to him, and he says in verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So these guys were having problems with, they were doing violence to people that really didn't deserve it. And of course they were soldiers. They could kind of push people around a little bit and have the rule over them and different things. And he said, don't do that. He said, neither accuse anyone falsely. Back in these days, they could do that real easy. And it was done a lot of times, but he's telling them not to do that. He's telling them things here that they knew they did. They knew they were sinners. So what he's doing here is pointing out their sin to them and showing them that they are sinners. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. They were not righteous. Neither were the publicans, nor the Pharisees that came. They were not righteous people. He was pointing out their sin, and so that's what his message was. And so then in verse 16 says, John answered, saying unto them all. He's talking to all of them. I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, that the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So talking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in a little bit further here in verse 21, we're going to look at this. Let's look at one other verse here. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 1. I like the Gospel of John. I probably say that every time. It's one of my favorite Gospels. John is different. You have to remember, you got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are synoptic Gospels. John is kind of a standalone Gospel. He doesn't cover all the things that the others do, but he points out the importance of Jesus Christ, who he is, says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He tells us in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John pointing out, that God has come with us. Emmanuel is with us. In verse 21 here, it says, let's back up to verse 19. And it says, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they said, ask him, but what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou a prophet? He said, he answered, no. And then said he unto him, who art thou? And that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Elias has said. And that's what in the Old Testament, we can look at the verse of Scripture, and they're in, I think it's in Micah, or Malachi, and he tells us that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that's what he tells them there in the Gospel of John, who he is, and that's the testimony or the message he's given to all the world, is that he is the voice preparing the way for the Lord. And so here we see in verse 21 of Luke chapter 3, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened." In this first verse here of this, we see that the Lord here, he prayed. You know, that's an important thing that the Lord teaches us, and we should understand that we need to pray always. We need to always pray. It's very important. Here, he knew he was doing the will of the Father. He had left, I think, 60-mile journey just to be where John was to be baptized. It's a reason. There's a reason behind all of this. And so he was praying, and it says in verse 22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in the body, a bodily shape like unto a dove upon him, and the voice, a voice from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased." And so we have here at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke's gospel, he tells us here of the presence of the Holy Spirit and God the Father's voice, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. The Trinity is presented here in this portion of Scripture. Now, in other parts of the Gospel, we find out that the Lord's baptism is mentioned in Matthew chapter 3. We go back there, and Matthew chapter 3. Yeah, I think it's around verse 15. And it says in verse 15, it says, let's back up a little bit, just one more verse. Verse 13, and it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And so this is some of the conversation here in John. He's just given the briefing of what happened there, what actually happened after he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the conversation before that happened. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so, now, for thus it cometh, it becometh me, us, to fulfill the righteousness." In other words, he was telling to fulfill what the Lord, what God has told him to do. It's important that we understand he came to fulfill. The baptism of Jesus was identification. It's identify him himself in the obedience of God's command. We're going to look here for just a few minutes of this, that was told here, "I've come to fulfill righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was so baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so that's the record there in the book of Matthew. And so there also in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1 again, I should have kept my finger there. John's Gospel, chapter 1. It begins in, I didn't write down the verse, but it's here in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. This is after the baptism. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I say, after me a man cometh that's preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifested to Israel." In other words, he came and he said, "To Israel, therefore, am I come, baptizing with water." And so John was baptizing with water, but then he goes on and says, yeah, this is down here, verse 33, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Behold, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I say, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And so again, in John, he talks about him bearing record. And so this was, he was identifying. One of the things, he did it in the obedience of the command. A lot of times people, you know, get saved, and we forget to remind them sometimes, or tell them the need of following the Lord in believer's baptism. Because it identifies you with Christ, it identifies you with these things. We do it in the obedience of His command, identifying ourselves. In the Old Testament, there were three things, and Jesus Christ represents all of them: the prophet, the priest, and the king. And one of the ways the prophets were anointed with oil, and the priests, they had, you find several different scriptures in the Old Testament that tells them they were anointed with oil, and then other times they were with water, and then also with the blood. We'll talk a bit about. And so Jesus his baptism was important because he was going to be anointed. He was going to be anointed. He was prepared for his death. And then the blood. And now the priest, when they had all three of them, you remember back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 8 and 8 through 12, somewhere in that area, they're telling them how that the priest, he's anointed. When he goes in to offer the sacrifice, they have to go to the water stand and wash their hands, and they also sprinkled themselves with water. And then they went over and got the anointing oil, and then they put the blood on their fingers. And so the priest was all three, and Jesus is going to represent that as through his life. And then, of course, he was the king when he was anointed with oil. Let's see. I got here in my notes Matthew again, and it's chapter 3 and verse 15. 3:15. We'll go back to verse 13 here. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him." We talked about that. Verse 15 says, "And Jesus answered, said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill the righteousness." And by doing these things, Lord was fulfilling the righteousness which he had. He's talking there. Let me look at another one, verse 16. And it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water." He came up out of the water. You know, just like we baptize today, we come up out of the water. And interesting thing. Now, when the baptism of John We're going to find out the baptism of John. When you get into the book of Acts, you'll find out several times. I think it was, let me look again. Several times, I think Paul met some people and said they were the baptism of John, and he said, well, have you heard about the baptism of Christ? There's something that's going to change from the baptism of John here through the Gospels as we read what Jesus did and what Jesus said. We're going to find out the baptism has a change to it. The things that John was doing there, he was telling them to repent of their sins, turn to God and faith, believe in God. But in the Gospels, as we read through them, we'll go through there, then we'll find out that Jesus built his church. And when that happens, the things begin to happen. We find out in Acts, now back to Matthew chapter 16 again. Matthew chapter 16. And this is a portion of scripture where the Lord talks about his church. It says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, and they said unto him, some say that thou art John the Baptist. You know, Herod was the one that believed he was John the Baptist because he had beheaded him, and he sure thought that all the miracles and things that he did, that he must be John the Baptist. And some said that, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets. They weren't sure exactly. But Jesus said here, he asked them and said, verse 15, and said, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You've been walking with me, you've been my disciples, and you heard the messages. He had quite a few messages before this time. He had been on the Mount of Olives with them, and he also had told them a lot of things, and the Beatitudes. He had taught them many, many things at this time, but he said, whom say ye that I am? And the Bible tells us here in verse 16 of chapter 16 in Matthew, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that's what John was saying from the beginning. In the beginning was the Lord, a beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so so Peter, I believe, kind of believes the same way John did, because he said here, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him here, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so God had now revealed who Jesus was. And Jesus was going to establish something here, the church. He said, next verse, verse 18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And Jesus is starting to talk about the church at this time. And, you know, and from this point on, it goes up toward the cross. And he tells his disciples in John chapter 14, he tells them of his going away in chapter 13, but in John 14, he tells them, well, I'll get there. John 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. First thing he said in John 14 was this, let not your hearts be troubled. What happened in 13? He had just told them that he was going to go away. And here he had been with them all this time. He'd heard all the great things that he had done. And they were looking for him to set up a kingdom here on earth. And now he's telling them, I'm going to go away. And where I'm going, you're not able to come at this time. But he tells them, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The same thing that John the Baptist was preaching, believe in God, have faith in God. And then he says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He said, I've told you where I'm going. He's going to go back to his Father. He knows it. He says, and you know the way. He made it clear that they would know the way. And of course, Philip asked in this, he said, how can he, let me get back to where I was at. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And I don't think he caught exactly what the Lord was saying. He's going back to heaven. He's going to die, and he's going back to be with his Father. And then Jesus said unto him in verse 6, he says, I am the way. There's only one way to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was going to the Father. That's what his plans was, to go to the Father. And he knew that hour was coming, and that he would go to the Father. And so he's established in Matthew, he established his church. And in the church, in Matthew chapter 16, he established his church. And the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians chapter 12, that I'll get back there real quick. Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not 2nd. Okay. Chapter 12 and verse 28, it says here, and God has set some in the church, first apostles. You see, he told them here, he told Peter that they were, he was establishing his church. And the first thing he established it with was apostles. And this is a good portion of scripture. Let me read some more here. He says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, all are all. Then he asks the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? And of course, the answer to that is no. They're not all there. It goes on to verse 30 and says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly. He says in the next verse, but covet earnestly the best gift. He tells us here, there's something better than all these things, the apostles, the prophets, all of this. There's something better than that. He says, covet this gift. And he goes on to tell him, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He's going to show us a more excellent way. This is what God really wants to put in our lives. And being the apostles, the prophets, and all those things. And then he goes on and says in chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have not the gifts of prophecy, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The importance of God's love in our life. Is what he's talking about. And that's what the importance of the church is, that we can leave this place and go out and show others God's love, the love of God that's within us. He talks about charity here in this whole chapter. He says, though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, and charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeth not her own. It is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And this is beareth all things, believeth all things, hope in all things, endure all things. That's the only way we can endure all things is that we have a love of God in our hearts and we're able to share that with others. It says verse 4 or 9, for we are known in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. A lot of these things that he mentioned in the verses prior to this, the apostles, the healings, the divers tongues, all these things, he said that's just in part. But when the true thing that has come, and then we're going to be able to say, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Then when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so we need as we become mature Christians, we need to put away all those childish things. Envying people. Maybe you might look around and see somebody that has a talent more than yours or whatever. We don't envy it. We just glorify God and thank God for those who are able to do that. But at the same time, we don't act like a child. You know, a child throws a fit when they don't get their way. And again, you can't do it, so I'm not going to do it at all. You know, that childish thinking. And so he tells us to put away that childish thinking. That child, he said, and then verse 12 says, for now we are seen through a glass darkly, but when then face to face, then now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. God knows us. He knows who we are, and so we don't need to boast ourselves or envy other people. It says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That word is love. The love of God is so powerful in our, should be powerful in our life. And so we have the apostles. And not only that, since we have in the Gospel of Matthew again, should have left a marker in Matthew. Been there so many times. But anyway, we also see that it all comes together when we go to the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says here, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He is the all-powerful God. He is the God that controls the heavens and the earth. And he says, he tells them, gives them a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing them. He wants them to identify. He wants us to identify with him. That's the reason why we say, and I'll read this in just, oh, I don't have time. My time's already run. Anyway, but he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The only way we can teach them is to get them in Sunday school, get them to hear the gospel, be able to give people the gospel and tell them what it meant. I want to turn to one more place, and that's the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, because as we're reading through this, we're thinking chapter 6. I was looking at chapter 5. Okay, it says this, in verse 3, it says, know ye not that as so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. He said, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death. And like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we were planted together in likeness, of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, when we baptize someone, I've always did it this way. Every Baptist preacher that I know, I've heard, they bury in the likeness of his death, risen in the glory of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. And that newness of life comes when we get a hold of Corinthians chapter 13 and realize that our lives live through the love of Christ that he has for us. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He did it all for us. He did it all. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a great God. We're thankful, Lord, for your love, your blessings that you give us, your mercy you show us every day, and, Lord, your amazing grace that you give us. Look beyond our faults, and you saw our needs. Father, I just pray that you just have your will and way in the services to come. Be with our pastor as he comes and brings the word. Lord, we know that you prepared his heart. Father, I pray that you just be with him in a special way. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to honor and to glorify your name, Lord, by opening our ears that we might be able to hear. And Lord, most of all, open our hearts that we receive your word. And Lord, we just ask that you'd have your will and way now in all we do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.